This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And it is open conflict right now between the federal government and the courts. The Trump travel ban from seven predominantly Muslim countries has been temporarily halted by a judge, James Robart, from the Western Judicial District of Washington State in Seattle. The briefs were flying at all hours over the weekend and overnight. On Sunday, the Justice Department went over the head of Justice Robart to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, with jurisdiction in many Western states, to argue for the ban to be restored. The Ninth Circuit denied the administration and sided with the district court in Seattle. Will this case get to the eight justices of the Supreme Court, which is already deadlocked on a similar case of the limits of federal authority? Lawyers have questions. Families have questions. You have questions. Leon Fresco is a former deputy assistant attorney general at the Justice Department, where he was head of the Office of Immigration Litigation under the Obama administration. He has some answers. What we're seeing, he says, is a typical battle over policy, but conducted at light speed.
The end of any policy-making initiative, regardless of who is enacting that policy, is litigation. And so that's my slogan that I used to give to my lawyers at the Department of Justice was, you know, a policy is not enacted until all of the litigation is finished. And I think you're going to be seeing that in large quantities here during this administration, that every time a policy initiative is announced, litigation is filed challenging that policy initiative.
Is there an element of these challenges, though, that goes directly to the legitimacy of the presidency of the United States, whether you agree with Donald Trump or not, that ultimately is what the courts are going to be asked to decide in various cases?
I think the courts won't be deciding, is Donald Trump a legitimate president, but they will be deciding, were the actions taken by the Trump administration legitimate? Did they have some rational basis for it being enacted, or were they arbitrary and capricious? And to the extent that the court feels that a lot of what is being enacted doesn't have a basis in any actual rational study and thought, then there's going to be problems in the courts for the president. But I wouldn't call it a referendum on the president in the courts. I would just call it a referendum on the manner in which some of these policies are being executed.
All right. Let's answer this question from one of our listeners, Anna.
Hi, this is Anna Carveland from Blue Island, Illinois. My question is regarding the ban. How long would it take to get to the Supreme Court, and what status would it be in during that time?
At 6 p.m. Eastern Time on February 7th, the Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circuit is going to be hearing oral argument on what's called the temporary restraining order that the judge in Seattle issued, which had put a stop to the travel ban. At any moment after that, which would, you know, the arguments probably will end at about 7:15 Eastern time, the Ninth Circuit could decide to either keep that stay in place, meaning that the travel ban would not be executed, or it could restore the ban. In either case, the losing party will try to take it to the Supreme Court. And the question would be, would the Supreme Court keep the ban in place or keep the stay in place, whichever one is the prevailing wisdom? And so that could happen in a matter of a day or two. But interestingly enough, where the case is right now is at such a preliminary posture, this temporary restraining orders posture, that's not really typically where the real action is in Supreme Court litigation. The Seattle court is going to go back and do what's called the motion for preliminary injunction.
Right.
They're setting up the briefing for that. And it would be that appeal, which would ultimately work its way up to the Supreme Court, that would probably be the place where you'd see the real decision making. Because this is just about what to do while that briefing is taking place. And my guess, which, you know, could be proven wrong in a matter of hours, will be that the Ninth Circuit will keep the stay in place, and then the Supreme Court will keep the stay in place because it will be deadlocked at 4-4. One of the very, very interesting questions that arises out of this particular lawsuit is whether the state of Washington has standing to bring the lawsuit.
Exactly.
Because
they're already in the country.
Well, and a more important fundamental point than that, when President Obama issued what was called the DAPA program, And the state of Texas sued. The Department of Justice argued very vigorously that Texas did not have standing. And that case deadlocked at 4-4, and it appeared like the liberal justices are arguing that Texas did not have standing, and the conservative justices were arguing that Texas did have standing. And so the question is that actually going to flip around?
Exactly, right.
I mean, and under what legal principle would that make any sense? Where you'd actually have four justices, all eight absolutely do a 180 on what they think about standing, which is not a political issue.
Standing, of course, is whether you have a grievance to file a lawsuit, and it is an issue in so many of these cases. I'm going to combine three questions here. Walterboro, South Carolina asks, how could a federal judge have authority over a presidential declaration? Who has authority over who? Stanford, Connecticut says, who will ultimately have the last say in this case? And Eugene, Oregon says, what would the consequences be should local immigration officers and personnel choose to follow the executive order instead of the court ruling? Can the courts assign some personnel to watch airports that might need this kind of oversight?
Well, so this is the crux of the democracy, which is that all of us are just hanging on by a thread, hoping that the institutions and the systems work as they will. The answer is the court has the final say. And if the court wants to throw someone in jail for contempt of court, the court can. But of course, if the people who would be doing the throwing in jail decide to turn against the courts and say, I refuse to execute this order, then the judges themselves are, you know, they're not going to go out with guns and start shooting at people and throwing them in jail. And so this has always been the constitutional concern you have is, would if you actually had a president who wanted to disregard the courts and say, good luck, try to throw me in jail, I dare you. What would happen in that situation?
Jackson already did it, and it's Article 3 versus Article 2 right now. Here's a great question from Kate.
Hi, this is Kate Lunsford from Bothell, Washington, and I'm just concerned that Trump's tweets criticizing an individual judge will change the relationship between the judicial branch and the executive branch.
Well, there was a tweet on, I think, Saturday where the president called the judge in Seattle a so-called judge. And so that one, in addition to the ones from the campaign, were causing some concern. Here's what I would say. As if I was a Department of Justice attorney right now going into court, I would be very nervous that the judges I'm in front of will have already a view about who I'm arguing on behalf of that's not helpful to my case. And so usually the best policy is to not comment on pending litigation in general, much less the actual judges making those decisions.
We are getting literally hundreds of responses on this question, and so many of them relate to who has authority here, who oversees the president. This is Article 3 versus Article 2. From Cleveland, Ohio, who oversees the president? How much power do the judicial and executive branches each have? Are we moving towards a constitutional crisis?
I mean, don't forget Article 1 here, which is to say, if there really is a crisis between Article 2 and Article 3, and you actually had a president, the Article 2 president, actually disregarding Article 3 contempt orders, you could see impeachment proceedings in Article 1. I mean, that's what's supposed to happen in that situation. But again, we're in a completely new world and a new time. And I just don't know. But the way it's supposed to work, of course, is if a court issues an injunction and somebody violates that injunction, the court is supposed to throw that person into contempt proceedings. And the officers of the court are supposed to make sure that people who are in contempt are forced to do what the court is telling them to do.
Leon Fresco is former Deputy Assistant Attorney General of the Justice Department, where he was head of the Office of Immigration Litigation under the Obama administration. Leon, thanks so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.